Well, according to the internet, it's 10 o'clock, so. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're wishing our church family a blessed New Year with hope, renewal, and joy. May God guide us in faith, strengthen our love for one another, and lead us forward with courage and gratitude in the year ahead. And of course, our prayer is that you will continue to experience the joy and hope of Christ's birth here today, whether you're here in person or online. I've got a few announcements to make. We're very happy to welcome back to the pulpit today the Reverend Dr. Charlie Summers. Thank you, Charlie, for joining us. And please join us in Holman Hall after the service to greet Charlie and to greet one another. On Saturday, January 10 at 2 o'clock, this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock, there'll be a memorial service for Mary Webb. It will be held here at Hebron, and we hope that you'll be able to come to remember Mary and support her family during this difficult time. The annual congregation meeting will be held on Sunday, January 25th, following the worship. A count will be made to assure that a quorum is here, so please attend if you're able. It shouldn't last very long, though. And today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All those who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat this meal. Now, it's the practice of this congregation that we take the elements all at once after they are distributed. So the bread all at once, and then the juice all at once. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. If that doesn't get us in the spirit, nothing will. Please rise if you're able for the call to worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God.
And the firmament proclaims his handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech.
And night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
The glory of God echoes throughout the world.
Let us praise the name of the Lord.
Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm delighted to be with you on this first Sunday of the new year as we worship together. Thank you for the invitation to join you in this place made sacred by the prayers and hymns of God's people over many generations. Let us pray. O God, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth. Lead us, who know you by faith, to your presence where we may see your glory face to face. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
So we'll now have the call to confession and a prayer of confession. The grace of God has dawned upon the world through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for us, to purify a people as his own. Trusting in the promise of Christ, let us confess our sins together. Almighty and merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you and one another in both our actions and inactions. We recognize that in Jesus Christ our light has come, yet we often choose to walk in shadows and ignore the light. Forgive us, gracious God. Remove from us the veil of darkness that shrouds our lives, so that we, by your Spirit's power, may rise to the radiance of Christ's glory.
The true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Friends, hear and believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. If the children would like to come forward now for their time.
We're almost to not the end of the Christmas season, because the Christmas season goes all year long, but we are at the end of the book that Pastor Noah started, and we're going to read today about the wise men. And the wise men, do we even know who they were? They were three men, but they represented, that means that they came from all over the world to see the baby Jesus. We had the shepherds come, we had all kinds of other things come, and animals to see him, kind of like Acre. When they came and the baby Jesus was born, Acre might have been one of the little animals in there to see the baby Jesus. And then all the people started coming to this big barn where Jesus was born in the stable. But now we have the wise men coming. And look at them. What are they riding on? Can you tell what they're riding on? Are they camels? Camels. That would be funny to ride on a camel, wouldn't it? After Jesus was born, some men who were wise men from the Far East came to visit him. They stopped in Jerusalem and went to visit King Herod. Do we know anything about King Herod? No. I will tell you, he was not a nice person. He didn't like Jesus. He thought that he should be the king, not Jesus. They watched and asked the king where the new baby was, and who is the king of God's people? He saw the star in the sky, and we have some gifts from him. It doesn't really look like the buildings, though, does it? But it looks like buildings that we might understand. King Herod did not know that Jesus had been born. Herod felt very angry inside. He did not like this news. Look at him. Can we make sad faces like Herod might make? So we want to make him happy? Nope, we don't make him happy. God's people don't need a new king, he said. I'm the king. People should bring me presents, not Jesus. That wasn't a nice thing, was it? King Herod told the wise men a sneaky lie. What's a lie? He said, when you find this new king, come tell me where he is, that I can bring him a gift too. Was he really going to bring him a gift? He wasn't going to. But Herod didn't want to bring Jesus a present. Herod wanted to find Jesus so he could put him. So he wasn't a nice person at all, was he? No. The wise men left Herod and followed the star again to lead them to, and lead them to Jesus. Look at the star in the sky. We've never seen a star that looks like that, have we? It's a pretty star, isn't it? Yeah. As soon as the wise men saw Jesus, they bowed down and gave Jesus gold, sweet oil, and spices. That's the best gift they could ever give Jesus. All they had, and that was the best gift. It was the gifts that they gave only for a rich king. That night, God spoke to the wise men in a dream. God told them not to tell jealous Herod where Jesus was. So the wise men got up in the middle of the night and traveled back home to a different place so that Herod wouldn't know where he was. The wise men gave Jesus presents, but Jesus was the best gift of all. The Bible tells Emmanuel, what does that mean? Emmanuel means God with us. He came for you, and he came for you, and he came for everybody here to remind us that he will always be. And a neat story is that people came from all over the world to see the baby Jesus. Even the little animals, like Hump, are there. Let us pray. Please hold your hands. And this is a say after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for teaching us.
Thank you for teaching us.
That people from all over the world.
That people from all over the world.
Came to see Jesus.
Came to see Jesus.
Help us understand.
Help us understand.
Like the wise men.
Like the wise men.
We should follow Jesus.
We should follow Jesus.
The wise men did bring gifts.
The wise men did bring gifts.
But Jesus is the greatest gift of all.
Jesus is the greatest gift of all.
Amen.
Amen.
As we turn our attention to the morning scripture lesson, let us pray. Gracious God, open our ears to hear and our hearts to receive all that you have in your word for us this day, we pray. Amen. Picking up in the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, Herod sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, They left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. This is the word of the Lord. I took my granddaughter to the movies last week, Zootopia 2. It's a lot of fun. I like going to the movies, but I don't like the trailers. You know, the 20 minutes of previews that come before the main feature. And I don't like them because they just give away too much. I want to go hear a story and be surprised. I don't want the preview to tell me the whole movie in 5 minutes. Well, Matthew's gospel begins with a preview, with something that should be labeled spoiler alert. It is a mini passion narrative. It is a preview of the journey that Jesus will face later as an adult. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, is the way our carol puts it. Emmanuel, God with us, is heading into a lot of trouble, into the world that you and I know, a world where there are tyrants whose fear is deadly to others, whose egos trample any who get in their way. Matthew begins his story in the world that we know with cruel leaders and headlines about the suffering of the poor, the refugee, the foreigners. Emmanuel, God is with us in this. We began our reading this morning, you know, in the middle of the story, picking up where the children's message left off, because we don't read the second part generally on Christmas Eve. Herod is furious. He goes on the war path. He will not tolerate arrivals, so he sends soldiers, a death squad, to kill the male children of Bethlehem. Rachel is weeping for her children. She cannot be consoled. Weeping, not caroling, is heard in the streets of tiny Bethlehem. And Joseph flees to Egypt. They are refugees, like Abraham and Sarah many generations before. And they flee to a land where there was another wicked king, a Pharaoh who once said, "Throw all the Hebrew boy babies into the Nile." The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We do not read the rest of this story on Christmas Eve because it is awful. Rachel is weeping for her children and cannot be consoled. But Matthew wants us to know that Emmanuel has come into our world, God with us, dark headlines and cruel leaders and all. We see that Jesus is in trouble and on the run from the beginning. The war on Christmas is not about slogans or real trees versus fake trees or greetings in a store window. From the opening lines of the gospel, we see that the conflict is over. Whose will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven? We are adults, and so we dare to read the rest of this story. With its terrible headlines, its hate speech, we know there are too many Herods loose among us. They protect their power with violence against the innocent. As adults now, we can take some solace in knowing that Jesus was not born into a Christmas TV special with Peanuts and Lucy. He was born into our world. He grew up a man acquainted with grief, a man of sorrow, a man who would weep at the grave of his friend Lazarus, a man who would be run out of town, his hometown, after his very first sermon, a man who declared, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Emmanuel knows us and is with us in all of this. So we dare to gather on this first Sunday of the new year to worship God in spite of the headlines. In the name of Jesus, we will share a sacrament together, trusting that those who hunger and thirst for what is right shall be satisfied. In the name of this Jesus, we gather food and clothing in the winter to share with those in need. We seek ways to find shelter for the homeless, remembering a time when there was no room in the inn. In the name of this Jesus, we reach out to refugees and survivors of disaster through the Presbyterian Disaster Relief Program, through the One Great Hour of Sharing. We light candles in the dark, praying for those who have lost their way, for those who can find no star to guide them, for those who must travel home by another road. Yes, Herod is in the beginning of the story. In exactly this world that you and I know, Jesus entered to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. Herod and his kind do not last. Wickedness is a parasite. It is a perversion of the community of welcome that God intends. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. One day the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and God's child shall lead us all. Herod is in the story, but he does not get the last word. A few years ago, Marcia and I had the good fortune to travel to Egypt. It was a lifelong dream of mine to be in the land of Joseph, of Moses, of the pharaohs and Cleopatra, the pyramids. And while we were in Cairo, we visited some of the Coptic Christian churches, one of the oldest Christian traditions in the world. And while we were there, they led us to places where they say the Holy Family stayed when they fled to Egypt. They literally said Jesus slept here. But the part of that that meant the most to me was that they have this ancient tradition of welcoming refugees. It's at the very heart of their story as Christians that they are open to those in need, that they grant shelter to those who are on the road with nowhere to go. They are certain that to welcome immigrants and refugees is to welcome the Christ. It reminds me of the Howard Thurman poem called "The Work of Christmas." When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds have returned to their flock, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, and to make music in the heart. Jesus is a preview of coming attractions. When the poor shall be fed, the naked clothed, the outcast made welcome. A time when tyrants shall be no more. And until then, the work of Christmas is ours. Thanks be to God. Responding to God's word, let us confess the faith that holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the
Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We have seen the light of the world. We have been called to follow the star of promise. Like the Magi, let us bring our gifts to honor the babe of Bethlehem and bring light to all the dark places in our community and world. Let us present to God our morning tithe and offering.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Bright morning star, your light has come, and your birth, O Jesus, has overwhelmed us with joy. With grateful hearts, we bring you our gifts, time, talent, resources. Use these and us for the work of your kingdom and the honor of your name. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel tells us that God, by the leading of a star, manifested the Savior to the peoples of the world. And by the power that enabled Christ to change water into wine, made known his glory to his disciples. Come then to this joyful feast of the Lord, and let us be transformed. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God. By your power you created all that is, making the universe out of chaos and ruling over all in love. Throughout the ages, you have called people to love and serve you and be your light among the nations. When we have failed, you did not fail us. You sent prophets to call us back to your ways. We praise you that in the fullness of time, you revealed your love by sending your Son, Jesus, to be the light of the world, to heal our brokenness, to set us on the path of justice and peace. God of majesty, blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He was born to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. And in him we have seen your glory. Remembering your gracious acts in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we take from your creation this bread and this wine. We celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you, that we may be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. O God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that as we break bread and bless this cup, it may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. And by your Holy Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As we come this day in Christ's name, amen. On the night that he was arrested, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, as we have done in his name, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this and remember me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink all of you of this, for this is the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
body of Christ. Cup of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our whole selves to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Through him who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh,
now to God, who is able to keep us from falling and is able to present us faultless before God's glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and until the kingdom comes. Go in peace. Amen.